It's good to be here. Our brother Ralph was reminding us of some of the men in the past. The older gentlemen that used to be part of this assembly and other assemblies that used to come and minister here. And we are grateful for the ministry of a lot of these men over the years that have been so faithful to minister God's word. And there is a portion of scripture that says in 2 Timothy 2:2, "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We're looking for that generation who will be coming up to teach others. You know, these men who are gifted in the assemblies that have been coming here or part of this assembly, that gift that was given to them from the Lord was just exactly that. It was a gift. And so the admonition of the scriptures is to seek out the gift that is within each one of us, because we're all given a gift. Now, we all don't have the obvious preaching abilities, as you'll soon find out, but there are those men who have been given the gift of teaching and exhorting God's word. And we pray that this assembly will raise up men, the young men in this assembly, to take over the that ministry part in this assembly. We certainly don't want to see the assemblies falling by the wayside because of lack of interest in doing what is hard to do. Most of us have jobs, and we spend the time reading and searching God's word to help to minister God's word. We're not exactly eloquent and polished as some are, but it's not that. It's about being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we want to see. It doesn't matter what the ability is or what level it is. It's still God's word that's being preached, and we want to see men preaching God's word. And with that, we'll open to the Psalms 103, but before we do, let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this wonderful time that you have given to us to open up your word, to see from the scriptures more of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he's done for us. Father, we thank you for the privilege of worship. The idea of coming into thy presence is not just something of philosophy, but it's reality. It's a fact that we are in thy presence, and you are with us, Father, as we come forth to worship thee. And so, Father, we pray that you would make these scriptures a reality in our lives, how we can not only worship you, but also how we can serve you better. And so, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God would minister through this vessel, that it would not be anything but the glory of Jesus Christ which comes forth. And we want to give him all honor and glory at this time. And we pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I said earlier that I have been kind of stuck in Psalm 103 because it's been a psalm that inspired me from Mr. Palumbo Sr., who is over 100 years old. And I'm sure this psalm still rings out each and every day in his life about not forgetting his benefits. And certainly he has been blessed, and he has blessed us here with his ministry for years and years and years. He was a faithful servant until he was not able to come at all, and he went to the furthest reach that he could go physically, and then was taken. But he was taken to a home where, again, he probably ministered on a daily basis to those who are around him. And so I'm going to read the Psalm 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all who are oppressed. He hath made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower in the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto all the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. A lot of meat in Psalm 103. Last week, I mentioned that there were seven compound names of Jehovah. And last week I mentioned Jehovah Jireh, which was God will provide. And that's found in Genesis 22, 8, where it says that God will provide himself a lamb. That God himself would become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Of the seven compound names of Jehovah, Jehovah Jireh gives an insight into God's redemptive work for Israel as well as for the whole world. In fact, all the compound names of Jehovah concerning redemption. But there is another compound name which is not among the seven that I'm going to list. But the first one is this, is Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. Now, the seven compound names that I'm going to list to you, in fact, I'll list them now. Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Raha, Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Tiskenu, Lord our righteousness. And Jehovah Shema, the Lord is present. Those are the seven compound names, but I mentioned earlier that there is another, Jehovah Elohim. Now, what differentiates this Jehovah Elohim from the other Jehovah's seven compound names is this. Jehovah Elohim is distinguished himself in three ways. As deity in creation, his deity over man in authority, as deity over Israel in his promises to Abraham and his seed through which the Messiah would come. That is what distinguishes Jehovah Elohim from the other compound names. The other seven compound names deal with redemption. Elohim deals with him as the great I Am of the Old Testament. That's found in Exodus 3:14, where he speaks to Moses from the burning bush, and he says, I am that I am. The connection between the Jehovah promised Messiah and John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. That's a declaration from Jesus Christ himself saying that he is Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim, the God of creation, the God of all creation, and authority over man. But then we also see the seven compound names of Jehovah and Jesus Christ as the Redeemer, because those speak of redemption. Therefore, the term Jehovah Elohim is mentioned, it's always in connection with the creatorial might and power of who he is as the great I Am. As I mentioned before, we find the compound names here in Psalm 103. In verse 2, the admonition is forget not when it comes to the benefits of redemption. Forget not all his benefits. The greatest benefit that we have in the redemption of Jesus Christ being the Jehovah Jireh, God will provide, is here. The benefits of redemption that he brings to all mankind. And what did it cost his Father? It cost God his Father a loss for a while in heaven. Think that when he sent his Son, he gave his only begotten Son for the purpose of man's redemption. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We don't understand that. Some do who have lost a child or have lost a son in battle. They know what it meant to give up a son or a daughter. But it's not the same with our Heavenly Father. The Heavenly Father had perfect communion, holy communion with his Son from all eternity past. And for a period of time, he said he gave up his Son to come to an earth that so totally disgraced God. I think God was at the point of destroying the whole earth. But it was just in time when his Son came. It was a time when the world needed him the most. And he came and he gave his life as a ransom to redeem sinful men like you and I. You know, the Lord Jesus in the Passover meal said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You know, he doesn't ask a lot of us. He asks us to follow after his commands. He wants us to do the will of his Father as he did. But he also wants us to remember him. Psalm 103:2 says, "And forget not his benefits." Forget not the redemption. And Jesus Christ, as the great I Am, the Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, says, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a request on his part that we do that. And we don't take it for granted. We don't look at it as commonplace. Oh, I'm going to come and break bread. This is a privilege that we have. Because this is something that we're going to do in his presence someday at the supper of the Lamb, when we will be united to him at the marriage feast. And it's our time now, here on earth, while we're human beings, to participate in this holy and high privilege of breaking bread and drinking wine. Not just in remembrance of him, but just think of it, every time you take a piece of that bread, I take a piece of the same loaf. We all do it in fellowship one with another. We are united in Christ. The same with the cup. We have one cup here. And the reason is so that when you drink out of it and I drink out of it, we are fellowshipping with Christ. That's so important. To me it is. And Christ looks at it as important. We should do what he commands us to do, or at least requests us to do. Do this and remember it's me. Forget not his benefits. And combining the two, forget not and do this, we have a recipe to aid the believer from losing sight of the true meaning of redemption. Psalm 111:4 says this, He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. That's a life ongoing process to remember His wonderful works. As Jehovah Jireh, He forgives in Psalm 103, verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Jeremiah 31:34 says this, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, I will remember their sin no more. Do not forget the benefits of our Lord. In Colossians 1:14, it says, In whom, that is Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Psalm 103, in verse 3b, this is the second part of that, says this, Who healeth all thy diseases? Brings us to Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah heals. The Lord heals. When was it when the Lord walked this earth, did He ever fail to meet an obligation to heal somebody? I can't think of one. Because everybody that came to Him was healed. He was truly the Jehovah Rapha. He heals. The Lord that heals. Not only did He heal every sickness, every disease, and every infirmity, but even in death, He could heal. He raised the dead, and He healed the sick. I think He was demonstrating not only that He was Jehovah Rapha, but He was also demonstrating Jehovah Elohim in His authority as God, that there was nothing that He didn't have authority over. In Isaiah 53:5 it says, And with His stripes we are healed. You know, the Lord bore our punishment in His own body. That was the greatest healing of mankind. All those healings that He did, the physical healings that He did, just told people that this was no ordinary man. This was God, manifest in the flesh. But it wasn't until He went to the cross that He did His greatest healing. Jehovah Rapha went and healed the biggest disease known to man, sin. It was dealt with once and for all. And it was at the cross. The central part of the whole universe is at the cross where sin was dealt with, where God the Father was satisfied with that sacrifice of His Son for the sins of the world. In Psalm 103, verse 4, it says, Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Here we see Jehovah Nissi, which is Lord, our banner. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus. Chapter 17. We'll start with verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up the mount, up the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Moses and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah our banner. In every battle of victory, those who have won display a banner, a flag of some sort that says, we are the victors. Here we see Amalek is a picture of the flesh. It shows that he has to be conquered, the flesh. You know, it was interesting that as Moses was up there, he was getting weak in the flesh, wasn't he? And his hands and arms had to be stayed in a position so that he could be a conqueror rather than being conquered. We are no different. We have to constantly be on the alert of Amalek in our lives. The flesh is so easy to take over and have what it wants. In Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts after the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. But in Galatians 2:20 it says this, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What must you do with the flesh? Obviously, you don't have the strength in yourself, just as Moses didn't have the strength. You have to die. I am crucified with Christ. You have to recognize the fact that in the flesh, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. John 15. So we must die every day. It says, I die daily. That's what Paul says. I die daily. What do we die to? We die to the flesh, to self. Those things that are desires that take us away from the Lord. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by what? The faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Forget not and remember me. Every time we remember the Lord in his death, we have come and we have crucified the flesh, because you cannot worship the Lord in the flesh. It has to be in the Spirit. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. You can't come to worship thinking that I'm going to do this in the flesh. We were talking about that in a Bible study Friday night about this attitude that has come and prevailed amongst us of we can overcome all adversity. We are Boston strong. This will never happen to us again. We can do it. We have marathons and we have running events on the Lord's Day to cure certain diseases without one iota and mention of the Lord God Jehovah. Not one. Boston Strong, we are going to... That scares me. When people say, this is never going to happen to us again. Fellow Christians, I believe the Lord is taking his hand of protection off of this nation because of our pride. If you get cancer, you can't have the expression of the people of today that says, I'm going to beat it. That's the flesh. You can't beat anything. You give yourself into the hands of the Lord God Almighty for his will. Not my will be done, but thine be done. That's what Jesus' words were. Psalm 60, verse 4, thou hast given a banner. I'm going to turn to that. Because it's enlightening. Psalm 60, verse 4, it says, thou hast given a banner to them that what? Fear thee. What I have seen in Boston with this Boston pride and strong behavior is there is no fear of God. It's all about what we can do as men and women. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. That's where our banner stands, in the fear of the Lord. He fights our battles. Don't dare fight them yourself. Don't try to fight the flesh because you can't do it. I've tried. How many times I fail, I can't count. And then it says that it may be displayed because of truth. Don't you find that refreshing? That when you give everything over to the Lord, that your life now is on display of the truth of God's word. Jesus said, I am the truth. We're on display before the world. Let's not get caught up in the world's sayings. Because we trust in God. We trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he's our banner. Any victories won, we can raise the banner in his name of truth. Don't ever raise the banner of, look what I did. Raise his banner. In Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through the flesh, through him that loved us. He does the battling. He's the conqueror. Whatever victories we have in our life is because of him and not because of me. In Psalm 103, verse 6, the Lord executed judgment, righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. I mentioned that this morning in worship. In Isaiah 53:8, it says, he was taken from prison and judgment, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. You see, I mentioned this morning that he went to the cross. The righteous one who made us righteous because of his death, because of his shed blood. He bore our judgment. He executed the righteousness. He executed the judgment. For what purpose? Right here. To present you. Present you because of his righteousness, because he put righteousness into you, imputed it into you. It's not your righteousness, it's his that is in you. Because he took the judgment for your sin. To present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. That is what is right now happened in every Christian's life. As you stand before God this very moment, you are in his sight, holy, unblameable. Nobody can blame you, and unreprovable. thinking to myself, some of those thoughts that I've had this week, Lord, I said, I can take a lot of blame for what goes on in my mind. And maybe some of the things that I should have done that I didn't do. But you know, when we're in Christ, we are holy, unblameable, unreprovable. That's the way he sees us, because of the shed blood that has covered us. And no one can condemn us, not even Satan. He loves to try. He loves to try to trip us up. And I mentioned that in the Friday night Bible study, how that Satan is busy, more busy today. You know, as the Lord takes his hand of protection off the United States of America, who do you think is going to fill that void? The prince and power of the air. Have you ever seen so much weather problems? Why do you think that? Do you think the Lord brought those things on to punish us? No. But I do believe that when the Lord takes his hand of protection off of our country, that Satan himself can come in and change the weather. How do I know? Remember when the Lord was sleeping the ship? And it was a mighty storm that even the fishermen who fished Lake Galilee, I believe it is, they were afraid. They had never seen such a storm. They were fearful. And where was the Lord? He was asleep. Now, normally he's in control of every situation. But he was sleeping, and who brought that wind? I believe that Satan brought that wind. I think he can change the winds in order to bring fear upon the hearts of men. But as soon as the Lord woke up, what did he say? Be still. And the calm waters, the wind died down immediately at his command. Jehovah Elohim at work. That's just my opinion. I don't have anything to prove it, but I do know this. As every society that has given itself over to sin and godlessness, it's on its way to destruction. And we are on our way to destruction and judgment as a nation, because the Lord is no longer honored in the United States of America. There is the few remnant who do honor the Lord. And as long as they remain faithful, there's always be an element of protection, a hedge around them for his glory and not ours. In Psalm 103, verse 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. This is Jehovah Raha, the Lord my shepherd. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in where green pastures. The shepherd leads his sheep to where there's good food, where it's healthy. Wouldn't leave him off into a desert where there's no grass. He leads them into pastures green so that they can be healthy sheep. It's no different for us. That the Lord, who is our shepherd, leads us to the Word of God. That's our green pastures. There's our feeding grounds. And as long as we're in God's Word, we are feeding and being fed, and we're healthy sheep. That's what he wants. He doesn't want stunted sheep. You know, there's a lot of Christians today that don't read the Word of God, or very, very few times. And their growth spiritually is stunted. And you can see it. But the Lord, in his Word, feeds us. In Jeremiah 31:14, it says, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. He himself is to be fed upon. I am the bread. My body is the bread. My blood is the wine. You know that verse. I'm not quoting exactly right, but that's what confused the Pharisees, that how can you eat his blood and eat his body and drink his blood? He was talking about spiritual things. You have to feed on Christ, on his word, daily. My people shall be satisfied with my goodness. If you're not satisfied with the condition of your spirituality today, you're not feeding properly, friends. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So as Jehovah Raha, the good shepherd in redemption, gives his life for the sheep. In Psalm 103:9, it says, neither will he keep his anger forever. Now, when the Lord is not angry, what is the opposite? It's peace. And that's what we have here. Is Jehovah Shalom is the Lord our peace. And he says, I will not always be anger. Neither will he keep his anger forever. And then finally, Psalm 103, verse 17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Here we see Jehovah Shema. The Lord is present. So when it says in Psalm 103, 17, my mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, that's a long time, isn't it? And if we are in Christ, what does that mean for us? The Lord Jesus Christ said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. From everlasting to everlasting, if you are in Christ, just as the Old Testament saints by faith were saved, they're in Christ. The Old and the New Testament saints in Christ were eternal beings because he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Let us close. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time that we can open up your word and see a glimpse more of Christ and who he is and what he's done for us. We thank you, Father, for the Old Testament that reveals to us the things, the benefits that he opens up to us in redemption. And so, Father, we just pray that we might honor him in our lives and declare to the world his righteousness. And, Father, that we can go from this place to bring honor and glory to his name in all that we do and say. We thank you for this time, and we give him the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.